G'day, this is Raja Malina on Creative Disturbance. I'm delighted today to be with Amir Burujurdi, who is going to discuss with us the challenges of rethinking school systems that were originally invented in the 19th century.
Glad to be here, Roger.
So why don't you just present yourself very quickly and what your life track is?
So I'm a former educator, public school educator. Worked in inner city schools for a very long time and also worked in the administrative side of education, overseeing discipline programs for school districts. And now I am started a company called College Ready Prep, where we focus on not only things like test preparation and tutoring, but we also focus on social emotional learning and helping students to plan out their lives for the future instead of just preparing them for the past.
And I guess your interest in that has come from your day-to-day experience in school systems, working with students that are having behavioral problems, and the only way to deal with that is punishment.
Right. So in most schools across the country and probably the world, the model of discipline that's used is a very punitive model. So if a student breaks a rule, then they are punished. And depending on the severity of the rule or severity of their actions, they might also be suspended or sent to alternative school. But the reality is that many students are coming to us having have experienced a lot of trauma and hardship throughout their lives. And in a sense, their behavior is reflective of deeper underlying social emotional issues. So as we switch more to a restorative model of discipline and education, we're trying to better understand what's going on with students and teaching them constructive coping mechanisms so that they can learn to make better decisions.
And I guess a analogy would be, and correct me if I got the decade wrong, but now we have ways of detecting whether a student is dyslexic or not.
Yes.
And then, you know, there is special things you can do for a child who's dyslexic. Whereas before then, it was assumed you were stupid.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, learning disabilities, and they take, there's many different forms, were previously thought to be maybe an issue where the student was just being non-compliant or just wasn't interested in learning or whatever. But as our knowledge base has grown, we recognize that there are a lot of students with special needs, and not just students that have necessarily learning disabilities, but also students that are very bright and talented, and the current education system is just not challenging enough to them. So they are disengaging from the learning process, and we're losing brilliant minds because we are not able to provide them enough stimulation and learning opportunities.
So I guess the core idea behind your startup, College Ready Prep, is to sort of provide other kinds of services that accompany the school system, I guess?
Absolutely. You know, our goal is, you know, for lack of a better term, is life coaching for young adults. Because what's happening in school systems is that they're very focused on just teaching content such as math or science or English. And they're not helping students, one, learn how to learn, two, how to properly plan for their futures. And since the world today is rapidly changing technologically and in other ways, we have to teach people how to be responsible citizens in the 21st century. And the approach that we take is we help students figure out what they're good at, what they're passionate about, and how they can use their passions and skills to lead a productive and happy life.
Right. So one of the things that you said, and I'm not sure I'm comfortable with the phrase, but you said somehow people need to go where the future is. Now, our version of that here is, and, you know, one of the vocations of this art and technology and emerging communication school is indeed to detect emerging media that don't exist yet that are going to transform industries later.
Right.
Rather than, you know, yes, we all know how to use Photoshop. That's not the problem anymore.
Right.
And you know, I think one of the questions, you know, the as I think about that issue, most families don't have exposure to people in professions except in a very narrow area. Now, you know, I've been trained as a scientist. In most families, the only scientist you know is maybe the family doctor. And so how can you even make a mental model that I want to, you know, might want to do a job in that area? And so, you know, part of the problem is so many of these new professions are not contextualized in the kind of communities you're talking about. Right. So, you know, how would you even know? I mean, now Uber has happened.
Right.
But clearly the first Uber drivers were, you know, they're doing fine in some cities, not in all.
Right.
So how does a young person go where the future is?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So if you think about it, young people spend a great deal of time using technology, surfing the internet, creating YouTube channels, using social media and whatnot. So they're already on these platforms. Now the issue becomes, what are they doing once they're on these platforms? Are they just sending, you know, pictures of them? Are they just taking selfies or looking at cat videos, or are they looking and watching things like TED Talks? You know, looking up research articles, learning about how different tools that we have traditionally used in the past and how they have evolved now, and certain professions and how they have evolved. So what you see a lot is, you know, a lot of business schools, for example, teach traditional sales techniques and in-person sales techniques and things like that. But a lot of them don't necessarily focus on digital marketing. And that's a whole new space. And the students today are way more digital savvy than most adults. So why don't we start teaching them how to use their digital savviness to, you know, be entrepreneurs and to create value and to ultimately make money?
Yeah, and but again, I'll just come back to, you know, the exposure that you grew up with of mm-hmm. what kinds of, you know, professions one can make a living in. So, you know, in our program, we have a strand which is in the gaming area.
Right.
And most people only know about the entertainment industry.
Right. Right.
When in fact, as I was mentioning to you before, one of the students that I'm working with, Aaron Tate, works in the Center for Brain Health using gaming engines for students in the autism spectrum.
Right.
So, you know, those same gaming skills, he's actually the lead artist with the knowledge of gaming tools.
Right.
For, in that case, I guess a psychological application. Of course, iStation here has educational games.
Right.
And so, you know, how a young person figures out, oh, I know how to do this, I could use it there.
Right. I think there's a couple of things, and you see this starting to happen. I think the private sector needs to partner up with public institutions and send their people to meet kids, to mentor kids, and to have those conversations. So traditionally, all we do is, you know, have career days where your parents come and speak, or, you know, we invite doctors and lawyers, which is fine. You know, doctors and lawyers are always going to be a part of society. But, you know, if you have people coming from Google, from Uber, from Facebook, these are very relevant and interesting tools that kids are already using, and they would love to learn about it. So I think the private sector has a responsibility in helping to transform the public education system. And then you also have organizations, nonprofits, and there's one here in Dallas founded by one of my friends. His name is Sean Scott, and I believe he's actually a UTD alumni. It's called Hack My Future, where he's taking coding to inner city schools and introducing coding and programming to inner city kids. And, you know, programs like that give students the opportunity to be introduced to things that the traditional curriculum in schools don't currently have. So there's also nonprofits that can help address this issue.
Okay, I'm going to throw in a lateral thing here. So obviously we were talking about how if you grow up with a cell phone as part of your clothing, you have certain conceptions that other people don't have. And in the discussion that we just had with you before this, Yvan Tina, who's a PhD student here, said, well, maybe we need to teach people to get bored.
Yes.
And you know, that was part of a discussion of how these digital devices become so much part of your daily life,
right,
that you don't know how to get bored.
Right. And I, you know, I had never thought about
that
question. I think it's brilliant. And, you know, I think maybe a different way of looking at that is teaching mindfulness and teaching people how to unplug and to kind of remain focused on one thing. You know, we live in a society where we're constantly seeking stimulation.
Yeah.
And as in the discussion, you know, the dopamine hits we get from looking at social media or very vibrant images and videos, you know, it creates a dependency that in many ways is unhealthy, and people are beginning to develop addiction to technology and whatnot. So I think mindfulness techniques or teaching people how to get bored and just stay focused and unplug, I think that's absolutely very necessary as part of digital citizenship, because a lot of this stuff, this technology is very new, and we're just learning to deal with it. And there are clearly unintended consequences that we're going to have to be thinking about how to address them. So I think that's a great idea.
One of the, you know, in the Dallas context, one of the things, the terminology that circulates is that the companies are looking for T-shaped people. So yes, you may be a really good auto mechanic, but if you keep your eyes open, maybe you could be a drone mechanic.
Right, absolutely.
Right, so how you train people, yes, they have certain skills and abilities, but they also have the ability to look around and see where those skills might be applied somewhere else.
Absolutely, and I think at the core of that is teaching people how to learn and to stay current within their industries, and also teaching them to recognize how their skills transfer to other industries. So as one industry maybe is dying out, another one's emerging that you know, can give you the opportunity to get in something very exciting at the ground level. So teaching people how to learn, I think, is something that we unfortunately don't do enough in the public education system. And it's not until maybe you hit graduate school or later in life where people start recognizing the value of teaching themselves. And you see all these different applications now, like Audible or Blinkist or Udacity, and online universities and MOOCs and certification courses where people are interested in learning just new things. The only challenge, though, is that, for example, with the MOOCs, the massive online courses, because there's not a lot of social interaction, the participation rates drop off pretty quickly. So if 100 students begin
to get bored.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they're good for, is to teach people how to get bored.
Maybe that's the ticket. And you'll have 100 people start, but only like 5 people finish. Yeah. So that's an issue.
This issue on the, and I forget how you said it, but the continuing education comes back to that, the initial point that we discussed, where the school systems as we know them were invented in the 19th century at the same time that factories were invented.
Exactly.
And we tend to think of education and continuing education,
right,
rather than as an integrated sort,
right,
of system. And it's you know, I don't know how school systems change the way they do. I mean, what your company is proposing, I guess, is, okay, the school systems are what they are. They're not addressing some fundamental educational needs of the students. And so with the kind of company that you're talking about, it would complement what the schools are doing. But presumably, in your context, it would be a lifelong,
right,
thing, not just to get your high school diploma.
Exactly. And, you know, part of this is a political issue. And you see that in the battles between, you know, school choice and charter schools and other entities that are trying to do innovative things as far as education goes. I think one of the big challenges we see is, you know, how do we get public schools to transform? So if you were built on a factory model of learning where you assume that every kid's a widget and you can pour knowledge into them, how do you unlearn that and then teach educators that, no, humans are people with emotions and feelings and are extremely complex? And how do we get the education establishment to recognize the value of each person as an individual so that they can pursue a life of learning and enrichment? And our tendency is to compartmentalize everything and to say, okay, now that you're done with high school, you're done. Or now that you got your degree, you're done. But in reality, as humans, we are learning all the time. Yeah. And the question is, what are you learning and how are you learning it?
So right now, your startup company is just getting going. You're working nights and weekends on it.
Working nights and weekends.
I know you're interested in finding interns. So if anybody is listening, please do contact Amir.
Yes.
You'll be able to do that through the website.
Absolutely.
Are there any other ways that the people listening to this might be able to feed into what you're trying to do?
Absolutely. Please check out our blog on collegereadyprep.com, which is our website. And we are publishing articles regularly, not only about topics related to college admission and scholarships and, you know, things of that nature, but we're also writing articles about the social emotion challenges that students face, the best way that parents can help prepare their students for this lifelong journey of learning. We have social media channels like Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. So please follow us there.
Okay. So the keywords to put in your Google is College Ready Prep.
Right. College Ready Prep is the name of the company and the website.
And so you'll find all that material there. So
yes.
Thank you again, Amir, and hope you become rich and famous.
I absolutely hope so.